It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. On January 8th of 2011, a Congress on Your Corner event in Tucson turned tragic when six people were shot and killed. 13 others, including then-U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, were injured. In the days immediately following the shootings, the trauma team at Tucson's University Medical Center became familiar faces. One of those doctors was Peter Ree, the chief of trauma, critical care, burn, and emergency surgery.
Well, I'll try to give you a brief update, try to avoid giving too much detail so we don't get the information to the families in the wrong order. So far, what we have at this hospital is we have received 10 patients. Of those, one died.
Can you tell us if the congresswoman is one of the deceased?
No. The congresswoman is not deceased.
Can you tell us her condition currently?
She is in critical condition. The neurosurgeons have finished operating on her, and I can tell you at the current time period, I'm very optimistic about recovery.
Dr. Ree has written a new book. It's called Trauma Red, The Making of a Surgeon in War and in America's Cities. In the book, he writes about going for a run on January the 8th and being called about the tragic situation and having a sense of calm about how it was going to be handled. I started our conversation earlier by asking him how he was so confident.
Well, I think it comes as a part of the job. You have to like what you do. It's a very stressful job. It's one where we make life and death decisions, and I think the people that are in my field usually strive on that type of pressure. So in a media frenzy that like it was due to the VIP that was involved, being calm, I guess, is a part of our nature.
What did you make of the attention paid to you and your team, especially because of Representative Giffords?
It's a double-edged sword. We have those type of tragedies that go on in most American cities all the time. But violence due to guns are basically invisible, I think, to the American public. And while it was good that Congresswoman Giffords got the attention that she got, and our hospital and institution got a lot of the credit for being involved and participating, it was a little bittersweet that this kind of problem that we see in our country that is not better known.
You write about the horrible tragedy of Christina Taylor Greene and all the other people, but the way you describe it in the book is so intense. Is there a way you could sort of relate what was in the book to our listeners?
Sometimes those are just factuals, just like the police officers and firemen and everybody else who are in this field. You just come on to it, and you have to really be concrete, and you have to pay attention to pertinent facts in order to make decisions. I think the details are something that you come back on and think about later on as you put a life to it. There are times when you have to put your emotions to a side and be very intellectual, and then there are times that you need to turn your emotions back on, especially when you talk to the patient and the family and have empathy as to what's going on.
How much experience, how many hours does it take to have the kind of ability to defray the emotions and just know that, okay, we've done this many times before? I think some people in a much lighter way would relate it to why certain athletes practice and practice and practice, because when the big moment comes, you have to have been able to have repeatable sort of motions or knowing that you can repeat the best that you can do. How much work and how much time did it take for you to get to that level?
Well, I think sometimes in many senses we work in a vacuum, so we don't really get that feedback of how well we did. You know, at the end of the day, at the end of the shift, after the 24 hours that you do, you don't really get the applause and you don't get a scoreboard. It's something that you have to know from down deep that you did a good job. The things that you take home with you, the things that you worry about the things that you did the night before. We look for perfection, so therefore we're always continuing to strive and improve. I think that we work under immense pressure and time, and it's a lot of hours that we put in. Our job is fairly grueling, probably averages over 70 to 80 hours a week for the average surgeon. So it is years and years and years of doing this. I feel that although I'm the most senior surgeon in our trauma institution, I still feel like I'm learning every single time.
What's the most difficult decision or series of decisions you've had to make as a trauma surgeon? In a general sense, when you decide, is there an either-or choice you've had to make, or the lady or the tiger kind of choice?
Oh, we do that all the time, and I keep telling or trainees that that's why we get the big bucks. We do have to make the difficult decisions and help the families through this process. There are many situations when we do end-of-life care, when the body may be surviving, but the brain is not. And the brain, for all practical purposes, is brain dead. And in that sense, the soul is dead, the person is dead, but the body's alive. Making those types of decisions as to what's futile care, and even in patients who are not yet brain dead, but to say the quality of life is not going to be what the patient or the family expected, and to help the patients and the natural course of history go forward, I think that's one of the hardest decisions to make. Because you do take on that responsibility that when you face that family and you make that recommendation and you make and you help them guide through that process, you always second-guess yourself and to say, is this the right decision to make? Is there absolutely no chance of recovery? I think those kinds of calls are very difficult to make, but has to be done all the time.
Dr. Reed, what are some of the most exciting advances in your field or things that we should look ahead to?
Right now, we're also starting on a new exciting research, which I think is one of my passions, which is called emergency preservation, or sometimes known as suspended animation, which where we try to cool the brain and the heart immediately when they come from trauma. And if you were killed from a traumatic accident and you come into the medical system quickly, if the time is short enough, we now want to try cooling your brain and your heart in order to give us a little bit more time so that we can fix the injury, so then we can bring you back to life afterwards. So this is a study that we're starting to do in clinical trials, starting off in Pittsburgh and Maryland, but University of Arizona and Tucson is a part of that consortium.
Dr. Reed, you actually said someone could be technically dead? I want to make sure I heard you correct.
When I did this research 10, 15 years ago, I think it really changed my perspective on life completely, because what we normally have been taught is dead is not necessarily true in all circumstances. We know that in the Great Lakes area, when you fall into a frozen lake, that you can be revived even up to an hour afterwards. So it's this ability to cool the brain down very quickly that gives us more time. So when your heart is not functioning and it's not beating blood to the brain, I think that by most people's current definition is when we think that we are dead. But if we can get to the brain and cool it down quickly right after the cessation of blood flow, we find that we can have an hour, maybe two, maybe even 3 hours to buy the time necessary in order to fix your injuries. So during that time period, you are, I guess, technically dead.
To some extent, you became a celebrity of sorts. Did that help the work you did?
Well, I think, yeah, like everything, you know, everything's got a double-edged sword to it. I think there's been many things from our trauma institution that that the limelight and headlines did get us, so that there was some appreciation of the team members and the other people who work in our field and get notoriety from that aspect. I think that overall for the institution, it was great and fabulous, and both the university and from the hospital aspects. I think the only person that was harmed by all the media attention was probably myself. I think that on a personal level, this is not necessarily beneficial. I don't get anything personally out of this, and I think professionally from my colleagues, sometimes it's looked upon badly as well. So, but I do this because I think overall it's good for my profession, it's good for the university, and it's better for the greater good of our society.
Dr. Peter Reed, the Chief of Trauma, Critical Care, Burn, and Emergency Surgery at Tucson's University Medical Center. His new book is called Trauma Red, The Making of a Surgeon in War and in America's Cities.